The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4, the no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometre range. Recharge your soul.
So many of you would have seen the news today that casting calls have been made in the Saipan epic, the movie that's going to be made about all those events from all those years ago. Steve Coogan, I think, penned to play Mick McCarthy. Who, though, should play Jason McAteer? Well, who better to ask than Jason McAteer? Jason, you're welcome to the show. I mean, everybody at some stage has thought about who might play them in a movie. Who do you think it should be for Jason McAteer?
How crazy is this situation, right? I was in Qatar working on the Euros, and I'm friends with Lawrence Killian from Love Hate. And Lawrence, he texted me and he said, they're making a film about Saipan. He said, do you think this guy could play you? And it was an actor, he had blonde hair and blue eyes, probably the opposite of how I look, to be honest. But I recognised him from a couple of films. And obviously I text back, is Brad Pitt not available or Tom Cruise, you know, the usual. And he said, oh, this guy's going to play you in this movie. And I was like, oh, right, okay, that's cool. So anyway, a few days later, I got back to England and I had to go and see a friend, Colin McEwan, who wrote, he was the production company behind Cracker. And when I went to see him, I had to hold the door open for this guy who was coming out of his office. And this guy went to me, I've just auditioned to play you in a film yesterday. He said, I auditioned to play. I was like, yeah, no. So he said, I don't think I'm going to get the part. And I said, to be honest, mate, I know who's getting the part. This guy's getting the part. And he started laughing. So, yeah, it's just over the last couple of weeks, obviously things have, you know, progressed with it. And although I am surprised that no one's been contacted, like any of the players, because no one knew about it. I didn't know about it until 2 weeks ago. So I'm just surprised.
It's kind of fascinating as well to think about how they're going to tell the story, isn't it? Like, who, like, you know, that there'd be a bit of poetic license taken and, you know, maybe some people would be made to look better than they were or worse than they were, and you don't want to be that person.
Exactly. I mean, it's such a controversial moment and, you know, one we've obviously never forgotten and get spoke about all the time. And I'm sure the truth will be embellished, you know, along the way. But I'm just intrigued to know if it's going to be like a, you know, like a real drama, or if it's going to be more Mike Bassett kind of, you know, comedy. And, you know, I just don't know how it's going to be played out. And I've no idea how they're going to stretch out a 15-minute meeting, argument, whatever you want to call it. How they're going to stretch it out into a blockbuster movie? I've no idea.
I mean, you as well, I guess, watching it, or as kind of details emerge about the story, I assume you'd be kind of fascinated to know what bits of your interaction and all kind of appear in it. I mean, I remember you talking about kind of going up to the room to knock on the door and try and like ask for DVDs back just so you could have it out with Roy. I mean, is that going to be in it?
Well, I've no idea. I tell you what was said to me. The guy who auditioned, I can't say his name because he'll get into trouble, but he went to me, listen, I said to him, do you know my part then? And he said, yeah, I've seen it. He went, you actually come out of it all right. He said, you're like the cheeky one, like the cheeky funny one. He said, so you actually come out of it all right. He said, but others, he said, I don't think he'll be too happy.
So,
I know. So I, you're right. I mean, listen, if you're going to make a drama or you're going to make a film about such a controversial incident, you know, somewhere along the line, the truth is going to be put out there, and people are going to have to make up their own mind, their own judgment on what they think, you know, about the situation. I mean, it's been well documented anyway. So, you know, and it still splits the camp. It still splits the camp to this day. You know, when I talk about it, you know, whether he was right, he was wrong, he did this, he did that, he said this, he said that. So I've no idea how much poetic license is going to be allowed, to be honest.
Yeah, it's amazing that it's 22 years ago and it's still such a controversial topic. And we forget because we all remember it. We lived it. You obviously lived it. And we all lived it watching at home that summer. And how many people there are in Ireland today, like young football fans and Irish football fans, and they don't remember. They weren't even born. Like, this is a complete work of kind of historical fiction to them.
I know, and it's funny, you know, because because my career as I've got older, certainly in Ireland, more than England, is I used to get, back in the day, my sister used to fancy you, or my sister fancies you. Then it went, my mum used to fancy you. Now I get, my grandma used to fancy you. So it's like, you know, there is a lot of generations removed now from, like you just said, from us, the situation. So yeah, it will be really, really interesting. But it is one of them, listen, it's one of them moments in sport, isn't it? That, you know, very controversial. I mean, I was involved with the white suits as well, with Liverpool and the cup final. And everybody still asks me about the white suits. And that was 1996. You know, obviously five, 6 years later, you've got Saipan. And everyone is still talking about Saipan. It's such a massive moment in sport, controversial moments. And yeah, it will always be spoken about.
Yeah. It's true. I can't see a team going anywhere in any light coloured suit without thinking of that FA Cup final to this day, all these years later. But there's so many great ingredients for a filmmaker, aren't there? And not just the storyline, but like the characters. There's yourself, and there's Roy, and there's Mick McCarthy, and Steve Staunton, and Niall Quinn, and then kind of looming in the background, like Fergie as well, as this thing kind of continued on, and he became a kind of a player in it.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, we all love reminiscing, don't we? And we all like going back in time and talking about, you know, where were you for this? And how great was the 90s? And what about this? And, you know, the music scene and all that. And, you know, the 90s and the early, the noughties, it was an amazing time for football. A lot changed through the 90s. Culture changed. Football culture changed. You know, and then you're introducing mobile phones, and then, you know, the internet is all coming around, so information was readily available. And, you know, the way the media worked all changed. And you're right, you used the word character there. I mean, that football team, certainly with Ireland, over the Jack Charlton years, the 88, 90, 94, and then, you know, we had all the playoffs with the misery of the playoffs losing out. And then, obviously, we qualified 2002. But the team and the squad was just full of characters. Mm. And, you know, we didn't all get on. We didn't all get on, and we clashed, and it made for good media, and it made for good stories, but we were accessible, and those stories were accessible. A lot now, it doesn't get out because they don't do anything. Footballers actually don't do anything. You never see them. You might see them in a restaurant now and again, but you never mix with them, really, socially, but you did with us.
Yeah.
You know, we'd go to Gibney's, we'd go Malahide, we'd nip into town, we'd be in Lily Bordello's, we'd go here, we'd go there. And, you know, we had a great relationship with the fans and with people, the Irish people. We just had a fantastic relationship. But you're right, I mean, the film has got so many ingredients, and the backdrop of, you know, the last World Cup that we went to, you know, we've got the backdrop of that. We've got, you know, it was the glamour of Saipan and Japan and, you know, the stuff that happened before it, the build-up. And then you've got the characters like the Fergie and the Roy Keane, and then you've obviously got us lot, the players, and then you've got Mick McCarthy. And the storyline's probably juicy enough. I mentioned it before, and I don't know how they're going to do it, but the storyline's probably juicy enough to make a big, big film. I'm surprised Steve Coogan's playing Mick. I'm surprised at that.
Yeah, be interesting to see how he does it. Listen, here's an idea. If you still have the white suit, you could wear it to the premiere.
But do you think I'll get invited?
Hey, tell you what, if they think you're going to wear the white suit from that FA Cup final, they'll absolutely invite you.
Well, to be honest, mate, if I get invited, I'll probably have to wear a gum shield and a pair of boxing gloves.
Yeah, you might.
If you know who. We'll see.
Jason, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks a million. Well, I tell you what they could do as well. They could save a few quid, the producers, by just hiring somebody who could play about four or five different characters in this story. And actually, I know somebody who has been playing four or five characters in this story for years. Mario Rosenstock, you're welcome to the show. What
hey,
do you
Kieran,
think?
How are you?
I'm great. Yes. Are you available for selection, as they might say in sporting terms?
I would like to declare my availability to play John Delaney, old Roy Keane, because they'll have to do a flashback, so I can do old Roy. Brian Kerr, Steve Staunton, Robbie Keane, Niall Quinn,
Jason McAteer. I can play him as well. And we can do Brian Kerr. I'll do Brian Kerr in the background. And I remember Bertie Ahern was on the scene as well, because he was in the beginning of it. Bertie talking to Roy on the plane over.
Bertie talking to Roy and trying to get a photo shoot with Roy on the plane. I think Roy was a Fine Gael man at the time, but I think all the Keens were Fine Gael. But yeah, so I'd love to play. I'm officially asking these casting producers just to be a part of this, because we've been talking about, you know, so much. It's so much part of Roy's story, and Roy is such a big character on Gift Grub and John Delaney and everything. And, you know, one of the biggest sketches of the last 4 years was John Delaney's 50th birthday party reenaction, which we did on Gift, which alone was a film in itself. But yeah, so good news, and it should be a bit of a laugh. And actually, laugh is the operative word, because let's be real here. I can't see, I don't know what you think, Kieran, but you can't take it too seriously, this story.
Oh,
so
no.
I hope they don't go down the line of going, this is actually a kind of a serious drama. Because it's a laugh. I mean, you know that I was in Aikino. Aikino,
Mario,
such...
I saw you in Aikino.
Yeah, but we did it in skirts. Pretending we were Romans. And that, like, you know, Dunphy was a scribe in the old Roman Empire. And, you know, that he was a nymph and all this. And so, you know, so like, it is crazy, the story. It was bizarre. I remember... Marion Finucane was you know, so very, very big on the radio at the time, and she was on in the mornings on RTE.
She described it as a civil war. It was the Civil War.
It was Michael Collins and De Valera all over again. It was pro-treaty and anti-treaty. And you were pro-Roy Keane or pro-Mick McCarthy, and a bit like Trump and what he does to American families. Families were even divided down the middle. If you can remember. And it sort of symbolized, what kind of a person are you? Are you, it was 2002, remember? So are you part of a modern thrusting, Ireland can do anything it wants because we're the best Roy Keane side? Or were you part of this old Ireland where, you know, oh sure, it's grand. You know, it's only only a few balls. And of course, that's an unfair, that's a completely unfair comparison. There wasn't, you know, it wasn't about that. It was about two men who fell out and one man who, I believe, clearly wanted to go home and found a way.
It's funny, even when you mentioned, I'd completely forgotten Bertie and the kind of the face-off that the Irish government were having with Manchester United about whose plane might go out and bring him home or fly him back, rather. There was talk of, you know, kind of the Manchester United private jet and the state's private jet.
That's right.
Which would get him there more quickly.
There was talking about Bertie Ahern flying over to Alex Ferguson, Alex Ferguson flying over to Bertie Ahern, both of them flying over to meet Mick McCarthy, intercepting Roy Keane on another plane. I mean, it was truly bizarre. And then there was the, you know, the internecine dispute in the team, how it fractured the team down the middle as well.
And Triggs. And remember, we haven't even mentioned Triggs.
Yeah, the absolutely, the dog.
The dog became a character.
No, but also how Roy Keane became a ride. Nobody really knew who Roy Keane was. Now, I know you'll say, what are you talking about, Mario? He was the captain of Manchester United. Roy Keane used to not speak to the media, hardly at all. And, you know, women particularly didn't really know who he was. People who didn't love Manchester United didn't really care who he was. And he was the Irish guy from Cork who was on the Irish team. Yeah, Man U. But when he spoke to Tommy Gorman in that interview, suddenly everybody knew who Roy Keane was in this country. And suddenly all the women knew who Roy Keane was in this country, because he was in his kind of dark green Diadora sweater. And, you know, he was the picture of health. And, you know, he looked kind of matinee idol-ish, and it was a movie star role in itself. It was, you know, about betrayal and patriotism. So Roy looked like this soldier. In fact, before the World Cup, you may remember there was a big, huge 7-Up campaign, or big, huge campaign, and Roy Keane dressed as a samurai warrior.
I do, yeah.
He was on posters all over the country dressed as a samurai warrior, and by God, he looked amazing. So he had and has... Of course, Keane is mesmeric. He's charismatic. He has magnetism. He has movie star magnetism. And so for any actor to play Roy Keane, it will be hard to live up to the main man himself.
Yeah, it's funny. Maybe that's the angle, to go down the heartthrob angle. He kind of became our, like, if Russell Crowe was that person.
He was.
And he became our Diadora-wearing Mayfield Russell Crowe.
He is. He's Maximus Meridius Keenus. And he is Decimus. And he is. I am commander of the armies of Cork. And I will have my revenge. And you can stick your World Cup up your, you know. But with lines like that, you know, lines like, because we did them in Aikino.
Yeah.
And I went, you're not even Irish. You know, you're from Barnsley, you English dude. You can stick the World Cup up your doodles. You know? So, you know. And it's that thing, and he's little puppy eyes and going for the walk with Triggs, as you said, and his privacy, and then Tommy Gorman and the interview, the kind of David Frost moment, you know, David Frost talking to Nixon.
Yeah.
You know, Keane becomes Nixon in that moment, you know, and what a marvelous, marvelous thing. But you don't know, it might not translate as well to a movie because the drama that we experienced here was kinetic. It was part of all of who we are. But that doesn't necessarily mean it transmits to a wider audience. It was so personal.
Yeah.
And I mean, how do you communicate Corkishness as well? like the idea.
It's intangible.
It's that intangible thing of, yeah, he's from Cork. But what does that mean in England or anywhere else? What's Cork, mate? Is that a big sort of no-no place? Is it? So like, you know, no, you don't understand. There's a special Corkishness about Cork. What makes Keane. It's what he used to say. You know, he had a grudge against Dublin for years. He used to say, you know, they didn't pick me for the underage team because they said I was too small.
Yeah.
You know, they said I was too small.
How do you even translate it to whatever about people in England, people who are young today and don't remember any of this? You'd have to explain that again. And it's going to, because it popped into my head as I was talking to you, Triggs, Paul Howard wrote a book about this from the point of view of the Labrador. It was a truly mental time in Irish life.
Yeah. Dr. Johnson. Keane's Dr. Johnson. And funny enough, I just said Dr. Johnson there. Keane actually has a brother called Johnson. Imagine having a brother called Johnson.
I know.
I mean, there must be no other person in the country called Johnson. My name is Johnson Keane. Johnson Keane.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
From Mayfield. And then there's other characters then who emerged, like, you know, who were hovering in the background that would have eventually become massive, like
John Delaney, you know, like John Delaney, Kieran. And we all know what happened with John, you know.
And, you know, but he was only a kind of in his early days of the FAI then at that stage, you know. So, but interesting that they've chosen Alan Partridge to play Mick McCarthy. I don't know if that augurs well for Mick's character. Especially when Mick comes out and starts going, Roy! 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 Dan! Dan!
Oh, God. Anyway, listen, I think it's great excitement, but I understand the kind of the pitfalls that might fall into. Owen Wilson for Jason McAteer suggests that one of the listeners, not bad. Give Mario a bit of more time himself to play the other six or seven characters.
I'd love to do Bertie, actually. Bertie, that little cameo of Bertie would be great.
Be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be
great. Listen, Mario, it's always great to talk to you, so thanks a million.
A pleasure, Kieran. Thank you very much.
Mario Rosenstock, Jason McAteer.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the award-winning MG4. The no-compromise electric hatchback with a 450-kilometer range. Recharge your soul.